All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy hump day, January 7th to you. And yeah, it's a lot happier when the Memphis Grizzlies come in here with their first win of 2026. Yes, 106-105 over the Spurs. My partner, John Martin, was down there, and we had talked about him going down. Disappointed that John Morant wasn't playing, but still hopeful that the Grizzlies could stop their four-game losing streak. One that I didn't realize, 17-game home losing streak to teams with winning records. That was all ended last night. And I tell you what, it was a bunch of role guys playing key roles down the stretch, and Cam Spencer was certainly one of them. Wow. We got to get into it. I've called it straight white butter. I'm going to see if my partner agrees with that description. He was fantastic. 21 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 0 turnovers. Scored the Grizzlies' last 5 points as they finally close out a game against the San Antonio Spurs. We'd seen 2 previously this season where they could not. Great win for the Grizzlies, and they're right back at it tonight against the Phoenix Suns, second night of a back-to-back. So I cannot wait to talk to my partner today about what felt like, John, a much, much needed win.
Yeah, I mean, you were watching. I don't know if there's anything that I could necessarily bring that, you know, being there that wasn't obvious on television. The big story was that the coach of the Spurs benched Wemby for the final 4 minutes, which, hey, you take a win, right, if you're the Grizzlies,
right,
and credit to them for going out to get it. It's a lot easier when Victor Wembanyama is not on the court. And I don't know what he had to say after the game about that. I mean, I know he's on a minutes restriction, but he'd only played 21 minutes.
Right.
And so it wasn't like he was, exhausted by any stretch of the imagination. So anyway, we'll get into it today. Grizzlies win. Always nice when that happens, even if they get a little help in doing
it. We'll take it.
And at this point, you know, yes, you will take all the charity that you can get. Norton Hart IV is going to join us at 11:25.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk to him about all the goings-on in Memphis basketball. Then at 1:25, Dan Wolkin is going to join us. We'll talk college football playoff with him. Obviously, Miami and Ole Miss kick off tomorrow.
One day away from the big one.
And then Friday, you have Indiana and Oregon. So we'll get into all of that with him. Have we talked to him since? We have talked to him since Charles Huff was hired. Just wanted to make sure we have. It was the day after he got introduced. And so we have brought that up with him. But anyway, we'll get into all things college football with him at 1:25. But yeah, Grizz win, 106-105. You mentioned it, Cam Spencer, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. He made the last 2 buckets, I believe. Jock Lando had a chance to close it, missed both free throws.
Sorry, y'all be hard on him. He got a key offensive rebound there late.
He did.
His rebounding was key, and I thought, yeah, you're right. We wanted those free throws. I got it. But Grizzlies still able to pull it out thanks to Cam.
Yes.
One of those Cam shots came off an offensive rebound from Landale. So.
Yeah, second chance points kind of felt like the difference last night.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 61 rebounds to 50. The Grizzlies out-rebounded them. So that definitely was a big turn storyline last night. Wemby came off the bench, minute restriction, and again, did not play in the final 4 minutes. Hits a transition 3, 98-97, gets benched, doesn't see the court the rest of the game. Grizzlies took advantage, 106-105. So, yeah, we came here yesterday talking about the Spurs being a contender, and I think they showed last night they aren't that yet. I mean, there are some flaws on that team. They didn't shoot the ball well at all last night, 14-46. De'Aaron Fox had a horrific night.
He did. He started bad, tried to finish strong. Credit to Santi there getting that last block.
Yes.
I mean, but he tried to finish you off in the same way that he had in the first two. He and Harrison Barnes had.
Yes.
Better effort against Harrison
Barnes. Barnes was terrible last night.
Thank goodness.
Almost unplayable.
It was 23-31 in the first two for him.
Yes. Now, Champagne did come out and have, 23. But I don't know. I think they kind of showed their limitations. They're a lot of Wemby. And when you take Wemby off the floor, this is a group that is very much capable of losing to a Grizzlies team without John Morant, without Cedric Howard, without, their best players.
I agree with you. My pushback would be, if there's any, would be, he had 30 in 21 minutes. I mean, he was killing. And to your point, if they keep him in down the stretch, there's no need there, perhaps, for De'Aaron Fox to have to close it out.
Right.
I think it's a whole conversation about San Antonio pulling him. Let's stick on Grizzlies' win here for a second. I mean, from that standpoint, you talk about they had closed you out with De'Aaron Fox and Harrison and those guys with no Wemby in those previous two games. And so after making that decision, I would still tell you, because it's not just a bunch of inexperienced guys, because you've got a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who, yes, was off last night. Thank God He was off last night. Because you've got those guys, I don't want to change too much what we were saying yesterday, because, John, if they leave Wimby in, he's probably still doing freakish things down the stretch, and maybe you don't have the chance to even win that game.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I mean, when he's off the floor, it's a different ball team. It's a different ball club.
Yep. They probably would have won the game. But
don't you feel that way? Isn't that the kind of
they gifted 30 and 21?
In 21 minutes, he had 30 points. He would have closed that thing out, possibly.
Exactly.
But you got to credit the way
they hung in there. They were down 10.
Because of how shorthanded
dude. Sure.
I mean, dude, they're busting their tails out there, the guys that are out there. Vince, I mean, we haven't said Jaren. It was a good Jaren Jackson game, Jaren Jackson Jr. game. And dude, you got 9 rebounds from him. You got 21 points. He blocked 3 shots. He was active. And so we've sort of done this with every performance and said it's not enough. And it was role guys stepping up there late. But Jaren Jackson Jr. gave you a performance that you absolutely needed yesterday on both ends of the floor. We've said he's got to do that consistently every single night.
No doubt about it. So look, you needed that win for morale. I mean, they were scrapping, they were there, they were down 8 at the half, fought back. You know, they're getting contributions from Vince Williams, who I thought last night was fantastic.
Well, and you couldn't close out Lakers, and you couldn't these previous games that you could not close out in fourth quarters, and the two against the Spurs earlier that were carbon copies.
Yes.
You know, there was that chance last night. Role players stepped up and finished it off for you.
Absolutely. And you got the Suns in town tonight. You're 4.5-point underdog to the Suns tonight. You know, we'll see. Ja Morant, I assume, will be – do we know if he's listed as questionable?
Well, now you wonder if yesterday was more of – let's preserve him, save him for the second game of the back-to-back.
That sounds correct.
I mean, if that's the key, and I like, I'll be honest with you, I was listening to Chris Harrington with Jeff, it's probably more of an, he put it, eyebrow raiser, and I think that's the best way to put it, if he misses tonight, right?
Yes.
If he misses again tonight in terms of where he is, what's going on. But no, man, I'd hope and expect him to be out there tonight, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they deemed that the Suns were the more beatable team.
Right.
And then let's.
Can't you see that, right?
Yeah. If we're going to do it back to back, let's get him on the second night
and
of that back to back.
You're being careful with him. He's already missed the threshold for, you know, awards and all that. That's out the door.
For sure.
So you might as well, you know, be careful with him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, that. You know, you.
If that's what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we do not have an injury report yet. I assume that will come, you know, in the next hour or so. I think that's usually when it happens. So, look, great night for the Grizzlies. We were down there last night. I mean, Wimby was, in the pregame, the Spurs have this routine where they stuff the balls in the net.
Yeah, I saw it.
And he kicked the ball through the net.
He kicks it out.
I mean, it's like
his leg gets that high. It's unbelievable. Sports Center.
I hope people understand like what I'm saying.
I've never seen anything like that.
His leg goes up so high that he kicks the balls through the bottom of the net and over the rim. It's just like it's crazy that they're. I mean, he makes you know Jalen Wells or Cam Spencer look like a dwarf. You know. And Gigi like an average
about
human.
About our guy here, Cam Spencer.
Yeah, no, he was a warrior last night, man.
I mean he played like a man that's 7 feet tall.
Yes, and
we talking about ISO Kobe ISO ball.
He was doing that. Yes,
they had Cam Spencer doing this for you against a team with a winning record.
They got down 105-101. You're thinking that's it, right?
Yes,
that's the end of the game. Jalen Wells got blocked at the rim.
Thinking seen this before.
Yeah,
can't close out one.
That's exactly right.
That's what was going through my mind.
That has been the way that these games have played out with the Grizzlies. Hang tough for 3 quarters, hang tough even for 3.5 quarters, and then you just kind of let go of the rope at the end of the game.
Let me just ask you this, just because you were down there. What was the crowd like this point of the season? I'm just asking because on television, hey, when Cam hit those shots, that thing was coming alive.
Yeah,
and
it
actually looked like a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the terrace
for where
level
they
is,
are.
You know, how do you
on a Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the lower bowl was fine. It was good. The terrace level
it's
was
the terrace
definitely
level.
A lot
that's
of seats
where the issues are. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And because again, I don't. I mean, who wants to sit
in
the terrace level?
And television, it comes across that way.
Yeah,
what I was noticing is nothing different.
Yeah, so you know,
solid crowd.
But yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know what the announcement
was. I know it was energetic.
But,
yeah,
but it was definitely a lively crowd, and you know, it's Tuesday night. You know, I know that's a discussion piece.
Well, with Wimby coming in, and some people, you know, not seen him.
He definitely
the alien.
I think he's risen to that. I mean,
heard you talking about with Jeff.
Yeah, like there was a
he's an attraction.
An audible.
Yeah.
You know,
when he gets up off
murmuring
the bench.
In the crowd, you know, like there's just a palpable buzz when he checks in.
Well, it was like a redwood standing up.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Now, my wife, who I took that to the game last night, you know, I'm a little worried that I share a home and children with this person because she was not impressed with Wemby. She just was like, and maybe that's because, you know, she doesn't watch basketball, so she hears about this guy. And he wasn't doing freakish things.
Did she not see him kick the ball out of the net?
I think she did see that.
I mean, that's pretty freaky.
I think she was impressed by that. But I think she just expected him to be just this prime Shaq dunking over everybody and just, you know, but that's not his game. His game is
finesse. Well, she doesn't like the skinny guys.
And smart and, you know, IQ. And
she likes the brutes like you.
Yes, that's right. So, I don't know. She just wasn't impressed.
Okay.
So.
Well, Sam's hard to impress.
Yeah, I worried a little bit about that. We'll work on that privately. But yeah, look, the Grizzlies win. Great stuff. They got a lot of help. From Mitch Johnson.
How hard are we going to be on the Spurs about benching their best player down the stretch in a game that he's playing well when they've obviously gone in saying we got him on a minutes restriction?
I think we should be very hard on
him. Because what you can't change, John, I don't think what we should change is the conversation yesterday about whether or not they're a contender. If he finishes off that game, we can't have both. It's talking out of both sides.
Yeah.
And so that's my thing. You decided, you know what? It seems like most teams, young teams like the Spurs, certainly the Thunder, don't go this way, where you'd say, you know what, we don't care so much. I mean, right? Because this is not a team that's made the playoffs. This is their time to get in, and so you'd think they'd be fighting for every single win, and I just thought in bitching him, they decided we're an organization that's going to stick to the script. I know it looks good right now as the 2 seed. We feel great, but hey, we don't. You know, we're not going to go against our plan with Wemby in terms of ramping him back up to go get an extra win when we've watched De'Aaron Fox close out these Grizzlies before twice. Right? I mean, organizationally, I don't know that you can blame it too much. From an NBA standpoint, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's all about.
This is awful for your game.
Yes, it's...
That's where I agree with you.
It's like, okay, first and foremost, I think the Spurs...
Organizationally, I just can't.
I think Spurs used that game as an experimental game. I think they absolutely... Because they were playing guys they don't usually play. They played McLaughlin 4 minutes randomly in the third quarter. They played Sohan, who's been out of the rotation, 14 minutes. They played Carter Bryant, who's not playing at all this year, 9 minutes last night.
They also have a game tonight.
They also have a game tonight against the Lakers.
They're against the Lakers.
I think the Spurs absolutely dogged that game last night intentionally against the Grizzlies, thinking that, hey, our young guys, well, they'll be able to probably win this game. They thought the Grizzlies were in such bad shape that they believed that McLaughlin and Bryan and Sohan and the rest of it would be able to get it done. So I think that's the first piece of it. And then, yeah, secondly, from a league standpoint, bro, if you have...
Well, that's a conversation.
If you
yes.
know the guy's on a minute restriction, why would you not bake in the last 4 minutes of the game? Like, it's a competitive game. It's a one-possession game. It's playing close the whole way.
Yeah.
Why would you not save yourself? If you know he can only play 20 minutes, why would you not save yourself the last 4 minutes of the close of the game? It's absolutely asinine to me what they did last night. It's egregious. It's a big middle finger to the Grizzlies, one, to the league second. Like, they don't care about the regular season. All they care about is the postseason, getting there in one piece, stealing reps, game reps for young players that may or may not play in the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I get it organizationally. Sometimes those interests on the line, but just being there and watching the fact that Wemby hits that three and doesn't come back in, it felt ridiculous.
Oh, I'm glad they benched him.
For sure.
Because the Grizzlies won.
For sure.
And that certainly helped. I would say that, yes, it's bad for the product. It's bad for the NBA. It's a finger sign to the fans.
Yeah, I had a guy in a France Wemby jersey behind me.
And especially if I'm a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure there's some of that today on San Antonio radio and all that
stuff. Well, he probably doesn't do that at home,
Can he play a minute or two more? I mean, come on. They can close that game out. Some of those Spurs fans might be saying, look, we want to go catch OKC. We want every single win. And so I imagine there's some frustration there. Again, I have a hard time blaming them organizationally for the move. We know Wimby's, you know. What's the best word? Fragile? I mean, you have to be careful. That said, it did. It's what it sucks for are the fans that were down there, for anybody that's watching, and for the NBA and for the product. And I don't know that you can – there's any way to enforce that.
Right.
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 That those stars play down the stretch. Seems like, John, we're sort of here now. You look at all these – you know, this year, what is it? It's the calf. right?
Yep, a lot of calf.
And everybody's sitting, you know, for the calf strains or the, you know, to watch out for the Achilles. But the point being that that's sort of where we are now. And I don't know if that there's any more going back into the you know, the old way. I think this is the science now. Most teams are, especially with their stars, are going to be extra cautious. And if it's a game or two in the regular season, no, man, unless it's LeBron or something.
Right. Right. Now,
maybe Wimby reaches a point, John, at some point where he says, no, you ain't pulling me too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose he could have done that last night. He did not.
You know, Mitch said after the game, the Spurs coach, we're keeping the kid from himself. We want him to be healthy for years, not for trying to win the next couple of games.
I mean, I'm just,
it's again, a minute. It's 2 minutes. It's not like it was the whole fourth quarter. I mean, you know.
Bro, we won. I ain't mad at him.
Yeah, no, look, I'm just a fan of basketball, right? I mean,
for the league, yeah. I think it's bad.
I mean, for the Grizz, it's great, and, you know, I know people will celebrate that, they should celebrate that, but, you know, there's, you know, again, I'm not a Spurs fan, so it didn't, you know, who traveled into Memphis to, you know, watch Wimby or whatever, like, so it doesn't impact me, but I just feel like as a, you know, if he's coming off
missing the last two games, man.
Right.
It's not like, he's not, like, he hasn't been injured this season and everything
else.
It's
the last 4 minutes of a one-point game. I mean, that, like, it's just, it's like you can't defend
that. Yeah, but
that.
If he's gone over a minute because you left him in for a little while, maybe the minutes restriction was at 20, and you've already gone over a little bit because you let him roll for a little while. And
right.
Like you said, protect him against himself.
That must have been what happened.
In terms of, yes, hey, now, hey, man, we've gone over.
Right.
We can't have him in.
He just
mismanaged
it early.
You're just sticking to what the plan was. And I can't kill them organization.
Well, I
hear your frustration. I think it should be pointed at what the league's problem here with product and with teams sort of picking the end.
Yes.
Picking the result and where it could get them, whether it's health for their guys or the road in the playoffs, over product for the fan that's coming and paying for the tickets.
Look, I understand the minute restriction. But that's just the reality of the NBA.
We see it everywhere.
I guess my issue is if you know the kid's on a minute restriction, then you should make sure that, okay, we're in the third quarter now. Is this a close game? Is this not a close game? Can we get to the last 4 minutes without him? Can we survive it? I think that's the part of it that it's a one possession game. The best player on your team sits.
Yeah.
Just that does not sit right with me.
But you're allowing me to factor in too that they've done it twice to you without him in terms of closing you out. They do have history this season of finishing you off.
Definitely a factor.
And you mentioned all the guys who don't regularly play there. De'Aaron Fox was out there,
right.
And he was a huge part of finishing you off in the first two.
For sure.
And so again, you've seen your team.
Oh, I think that was 100% a factor.
And you're telling yourself, dude, it's Cam Spencer out there.
Exactly.
We can finish this off and stick to our plan.
No, that's exactly. I'm sure that
some of what the thinking was there on that bench.
The majority of it.
Yes.
I mean, how else do you defend it? You know, you can't just say like, oh, you know.
So I can't attack it.
What I'll attack is that you didn't manage the minutes that he did have properly.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you should have
cost him.
You know, 4 minutes.
It cost him.
You know, and that's clutch time or whatever.
Awesome.
Whatever the clutch time is. I don't know when they start that. The Lakers are undefeated in clutch time this year.
I think it's five minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Like, you got to leave yourself that. Play him 15 minutes. If he's only got 20, play him 15 minutes up to clutch time, get him back in there. Obviously, they handled it a different way. I think, like you said, they felt like they could do it without him.
Yeah.
And they were proven wrong.
Yeah, Fox played 30, you know. He was out there.
But, you know,
trying to close us out.
If Thomas Isolo had done this with Ja Morant or Cedric Howard, it would be like,
oh, we've done it.
Literally scorched earth.
Well,
you know?
And especially not putting him back in, period.
Like, Ja Morant got taken out for 2 minutes between 6 minutes and 4 minutes, and the entire city was ready to mob his house. You know, to pretend for a minute that he took him out for the entirety of the last 4 minutes of the game.
I think where Ja is, I'd like to see some pushback, especially at this point in his career, year seven, to say, no, I'm staying out here. I don't care that it's with a coach that he's only been with for,
right.
You know, not even a year. That's
right.
Where in year seven is a little bit different than, what is this, year three, year four, whatever, from Wimby.
Right.
So,
no,
look, I mean, a little bit different.
No, look, there's a lot of factors that go into it.
And his availability already is an issue.
Yeah. It's not the end of the world. Obviously, again, it benefited the Grizz.
We needed it. That's what I'm saying.
We'll see tonight. You know, it's going to be a little interesting tonight. Got Dylan Brooks coming back in town.
Ready to troll, I'm sure.
A Suns team that's way better than most people believed it would be.
But a Dylan Brooks team that clearly has a respect for at least some of the guys over here, because you see that he was in Washington early, got to Washington. They had a game there after you, but sat there to watch the Grizzlies play.
Yep.
And sit with the guys. And so there's still a relationship there, even though he loves beating you. I think we got a healthy respect for Dylan. Some of us even. Sort of nostalgically, you know, you kind of wish for those days.
Yes.
It had run its course. I'm still there.
Yes.
That said, it'd be nice to have him back in the building.
Well,
Phoenix is just a lot better than we thought they were going to be.
Well, we talked about it for
the
season.
That's the problem.
We knew that roster was not nearly as
right before
incompetent.
The season. We said, wait a minute here.
Yeah, there's too many.
That roster's pretty
like,
good.
Decent yeah. NBA players.
This is not going to be some top three pick team
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And Jalen Green hasn't even played this year yet, right?
I'm not sure.
I think he's been out for the whole year. So, I mean, when he comes back,
there'll be a transition period
right,
there to get
right.
used to him.
So, Grizz are 4.5 underdogs. You know, I mean, 1-1 was probably always going to be the goal in this two-game stretch here against Spurs and the Suns. So, it's definitely, a good one to get against the Spurs. 17-game home losing streak against winning teams. Snapped.
Gigi got the start, but he didn't do anything for you, did he?
No, he didn't.
After two straight double-digit games, you gave him the start.
Yep.
It was just his second start this season.
Yeah. I mean, Cam Spencer,
I would say
Williams.
He did have 7 rebounds. Like the team rebounding last night was good from just about everybody, including, like I said, Jaren had 9. Jalen didn't shoot the ball well, but just about everybody else, especially Vince, his activity level. You had not been able to close out those games, whether it was recently or against the Spurs, with role players, and you did that last night. It's good to see the growth and see you get a little bit of reward. Right, in a league that doesn't reward you often, especially when you're as undermanned as they were, you get a little bit of reward here for busting your tails the way they did.
Absolutely.
And for those shots of Cam Spencer's to drop. So I felt great for the fans, and then obviously for the players have been.
Yeah.
You know, when you look for that first win in 2026.
That's right.
It had been a minute.
Hey, they're hard to come by these days with everything going
especially
on.
Against teams with winning records.
So you definitely got to take them when you can get them, no matter how they come. You got to take them, absolutely. We got some NFL news. Got more
shocker
coaching news.
Night. Shocker.
A legend, I think, is a fair way to describe it. Fired after a long tenure in Baltimore. We'll talk about that, the fallout there. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us on the other side. Stick around. J&J, 92.5 ESPN.
Oh, he looks good every time we see him. Super sharp. He's Norton Hurd IV, Team Thad Program Director and Coach. Silver Waves Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball for 2025. He's a Mitchell High product. Walker Holmes finest. Follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd, and he's on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. Coach, can you feel the power of that Grizzlies win resonating throughout this city? Help cleaning up crime and everything else? I don't know how much attention you were paying, but boy, did the Grizzlies need that win last night. How about that Cam Spencer?
I was paying attention. That was a pretty good win over a Spurs team that a lot of people is high on to do big things this year. So I think that was a statement win. I don't know how the Spurs or the rest of the world look at it, but I think down here we look at that as a statement win.
When you see Cam Spencer going ISO down the stretch and scoring the Grizzlies' final 5 points, 21-8-8, no turnovers, Coach, in that game, do you feel like he's graduated to a place where he should be on John Martin's White Basketball Player Wall of Fame? Is he already there?
He's very close, man. The things he keep doing, like you say, from a shooter to ISOing, I mean, I don't want to be a overreaction or the prisoner of the moment, but he's heading in the right direction. So if he ain't there, he should be there soon. And, I mean, the thing in the room that I don't know how much we didn't talk about it, and we know we're not better without him, but to even get that type of win and what he did without Ja was crazy.
Yeah, I mean.
It was.
Hurd, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Coach.
Happy New Year, sir.
I know that.
I got a text from him
I know.
Saying Happy New Year. It was very
oh, did funny. I get one, Hurd? I think I did.
I put it in the group. Yeah.
You group texted it. You know, that makes it a little less personal when you do that. I got a Merry Christmas from Hurd, though. So I
that man was definitely sending out the well wishes during the holiday.
You know, I'll say this. Hurd,
I even got one.
I appreciated that because the older I get, the less of those I get.
Right.
It's just the truth.
Right.
So I want you to know that on a real level, I appreciated you reaching out to me and saying Merry Christmas. We'll work on Happy New Year. But I do want you to the idea that you took the time to think about me to say Merry Christmas, it meant a lot to me, so I appreciate you doing that. Cam is working his way there, but, you know, Hurd, I have a very high bar if you get on my wall. There's only two jerseys. There's only two jerseys on my wall right now. I did get an Amani Bates Cavs jersey, but that was a
– You were never going to put it up.
It's a disaster that he's no longer – I think he's a Delaware Blue Hen or something now. I don't know where he is. But, like, I guess I would ask you in terms of Cam Hurd. He's doing this in the context of sort of he's forced to do this. Like he's being thrown out there. There's no job. There's no anybody really. Can you see that translating to, okay, when and if this Grizzlies team ever gets whole again, he still can have that kind of role on a team that wins and expects to win and could be a you know, top five, top six seed, presuming that you think that is possible?
Yeah, I do think he can. I think I ain't gonna say the issue with basketball, you always must make adjustments, right? Let's say the Grizzlies go on a 10-0 run, right? 10-0. Well, and Jaren and Ja was out. Well, unfortunately, when they come back, everyone still have to adjust, right? It's just how the professional sports go. If it was high school or college, you might ride the wave, right? Or if it was just a quarterback. Even with a quarterback, some people think, you know, the Ravens was even doing good. So when you come with Ja Morant, I think he still can be that player, but just how to adjust, kind of like how Austin Reeves and the other guys have adjusted with LeBron when he came back. You got to find a way to adjust because Ja had the ball in his hands a lot, and so it's going to be played a little different.
You still trust Ja as a franchise leader, Hurt?
Yes, because he's still young. He's still one of the best players. And so if this was years from now, but like just to have a really, really good young talent, I'm not sure you can go any other way. Josh is what, just 25 years old?
26, I think, yeah.
26, 25. And it's one of the things too, Coach. Let's say somebody said they didn't trust him. It's like it gets into the boat of, I mean, and I know y'all hate this with me because I think John or some other people used to hate when I say, I don't think we can find, although I think Penny is a good coach, I don't think we can find anyone better. And some people's like, well, that ain't why we should keep a person. Well, even with John, I think you have to think about that, like, who will we get? And would they want to stay in Memphis? So I think with the Grizzlies, you have to think of all of that stuff when you're looking at that.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, it's just at some point, and I don't know if we're there, but at some point there will be the decision will be out. Like Trae Young and the Hawks, right? Like they are clearly a better team without him. I'm not saying the Grizz are better without Ja necessarily. They are 10-8 without him this year. But the Hawks are clearly trying to just do a different. They're playing a different way, and he is clearly a drag on their defensive metrics, and so they're just going to get what they can for him. You know, like, yeah, it's not going to get you a star for star, but it never does.
They're probably going to have to attach a pick, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it just becomes a situation where because Hurd, you do have to decide, right, at some point, whether you're going to be – because Ja's going to want an extension. He wanted it this offseason. You didn't give it to him. So, you're going to have to decide one way or the other. And I don't know. I don't think it really just gets made for you if he doesn't play, right? If he's not going to play more than 40 to 50 games a year, like you can't extend that.
So that what I was going to say when you asked me that, John. I think Ja thing is, because I don't think it had been any other, you know, them issues that was before. So I think it was more so the health thing than anything, have you make the decision. You know what I mean? Not even so much the talent or the leadership at this point, I think it is the health. Now, it has been people for years and years have said that they would trade Ja for a trade in a package. And now that the trade thing is really here now, the Grizzlies are not saying this, but all the smoke talked about it, I think, yesterday. I don't know if y'all saw that with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. Some other people have said that they think they should look at that. You know, I don't know if the Grizzlies realistically is looking at that.
Is the team playing the best basketball in Memphis, the Bartlett Panthers?
Yes.
All right. So that's okay. Now you know I got the follow-up. I was hoping you would go there with me. I was very excited about this to ask you about this to school me and John, because I'm just getting caught up. I gave him a respect burger on Monday. I framed the question this way to you, Hurd. You're the best person to ask. Does this team have a chance to be one of the great ones when you talk about the talent? Obviously, that was going to include a state title. But, Hurd, I saw they knocked off, what is it, Southeastern Prep Academy. That was the number one prep school team. I think finished fourth in the city of Palm. You know, what are they, 13-2 nationally ranked? How good is this Bartlett team in terms of its chance to be one of the special ones out of this area?
Yeah, Bartlett is definitely the best team. I know it was some fussing early on, but they're the best team in the city. They're the best team in the state. John, I don't know if I text you last night, but I meant to text you. You really should have had your son at that game last night, at that Bartlett and Houston game. This is where I'm going with this, Jason. Y'all might not believe this, that as many national games they have won last night, Houston was up most of the game and they won by two. I saw that. Really great atmosphere. I mean, went to overtime. Brelin hit the big shot into overtime. Fison had like 31, 32 points in only three quarters, you know, because he was in foul trouble. It was really, you know, of course, Dylan Jones, all them did their thing. Where it ranks against the, and I really like Bartlett. They well coach. I like the players. Y'all know how much I love Dylan and guys on that team and DJ nationally. But I would have to just sit back and think when I say, like, an historic of Memphis, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this because they are really, really, really good. The only thing about the historic thing is I don't think they are – nationally they are, but locally they're not playing the other level of historic talent neighborhood that some of those teams –
That's fair.
You know,
I see where you're at. Yeah.
You get where I'm going a little bit with this?
Who, like, they're playing locally, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like when Carver was good, they had to run through BTW, Mitchell, Furley, White. When White Station was good, Easton, Everard,
Ridgeway, and everybody, yeah.
Seven D1 players, you know what I mean? Or had multiple 6, 8, 9, and 10 in Hamilton, you know what
That's
I mean?
A good point.
And so, not to knock them, because they're doing a hell of a job over there. I mean, Sydney, I mean, they got a lot of kids over there. Big Ethan, what's the boy, Aston? They got some really good players that could have competed, but locally, most of the time when they step on the floor, they're taller, better, and deeper than everybody. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's a kind of more expected. But the stuff they're doing nationally, we got to praise them right now. They're a top 10 team in the nation, you know, right now. There's not even a prep.
Remind me, does Dylan Jones who had 25, I think, against Southeastern Prep, you mentioned him. Does he have an offer already from Penny from Memphis?
Yes, sir. He has a Memphis offer. He actually won the matchup against C.J. Rosser, which was the number one player in the country in his class on Saturday. That's another game your son would enjoy, too. But I even liked the last night better because it was just a Memphis thing. It reminded me of back in the day. You don't really get too many good Memphis games. But yes, Dylan has a Memphis offer. D.J. has a Memphis offer. And Brelin do. So I know at least three of them over there at Bartlett has a Memphis offer.
See, I think, and maybe you'll let me touch on this, John.
Yeah,
And you tell me if you agree or not. You and I used to get, like, you know, our blood would start bubbling talking about this stuff, right?
Totally.
Because you'd start thinking about not just what they could do in high school and all that stuff, but more importantly, could Memphis get these kinds of guys and what they could do for your program? But the game has changed so much.
Absolutely.
In terms of recruiting.
Yep.
Heard. That's what you see where I'm going with that, and that's what I'm talking about. Like with this story with Bartlett, as loaded as they are, back in the day, man, we'd have wrote about this team. You know, us, we'd be talking about it every day because of all the talent and the possibility of Memphis keeping it all. But heard it's changed so much, right? It'd be silly to believe that Memphis in this time could bank on going after all the guys coming out of Bartlett going young when, frankly, it's better off to be old in this day and age, right? It's just changed so much and so quickly.
That's true, but I think that's where Memphis have the advantage, like, right? Because we talk about
I hope so
every week or probably once a month, twice a month, we always talk about is it better to be older? That's where Memphis could win at because it's like, okay, those guys might have SEC offers, but Memphis could be like, y'all could come here, represent the city, and play more earlier. You know what I mean? So now – I think if they're in their hometown, they got a chance of keeping them these days just because you get them early on me, you can keep them early. But right. I think some of those guys can help University of Memphis as they continue to grow. I think he haven't committed yet, but I think they're in pretty good with Fred. If you listen to most national people, they think that, you know how they do the look, Cole and Hyde and highest percentage, and do they pick? I think most people have Fred going to Memphis. Like, I'm not here doing any breaking news or giving any personal information. I think we can keep that, you know, going on. I mean, I had one national scout even was like, Fred ain't committed yet, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't know personally what he got going. But so I think if he can do that with Fred, come back with, you know, a Dylan or a DJ, you know, one of them, I think that'll still be good for the city and mix it with some older players.
Yeah, I mean, if they, you know, if they can stay, I mean, I think that would be, that's the other thing that's changed so much. It's not even just not going to Memphis. It's like, you like these guys don't, the best ones always leave, it feels
but,
like.
But aren't we at a point now, Hurt? Yeah, that's what it feels like, John. But aren't we at a point now, and you probably agree with this, where a guy like DJ has risen so high now in terms of the money he can make, Hurt, and you can speak to this, the offer he can get from some of those SEC schools and the NIL offer, you're priced out in a way that maybe previously, right, with Kennedy Chandler, that you're fighting him off of Tennessee, this didn't apply necessarily. But now with what the SEC can offer and your, you know, what we've been going on, 4 to 5, 5.5 million, you know, can I ask DJ to take a hometown discount when he can potentially go make, you know, the money in the SEC? You know what I'm saying? Has those kind of guys that have risen to that level, Fred's on one, DJ's on another, sort of been priced out to that point? You know what I mean? Because you know how much money they can make. I don't. You know how high that number can go. How high is it, Hurt? When you top 10?
I mean, it can get up there. Honestly, though, I will say this, though. High school kids still not getting the level of money that some people are reporting.
Okay, but what can top 10 do? What can top 10 do? What could DJ do?
It's levels of top 10. You got top 10, and then you got A.J. DeBanza, Darren Peterson, Boozer.
I got you.
Them different levels of kids, period, probably you ain't going to see no kids like that for the next 5 years. You know what I mean? Not even just speaking on DJ. I'm just speaking on kids in his class. And that, like, that is a very special class. So, I mean, you got kids in the top 10 that can get close to $1 million. You know what I mean? But with college basketball, because the average freshman, even top 50, whatever, they're getting about a couple hundred grand. It's not like football, and also with basketball, that a lot of these schools, especially with them that did the new collective stuff, they're saving their main big buck to retain their best players and get high-level transfers. So it ain't like nobody coming out of high school, you know, minus the Coopers and A.J. DeBanza, where you getting millions of dollars.
$1 million for DJ, well, possibly. Huh? I'm just trying to narrow down some of what you said. $1 million possibly for a guy like DJ.
Like I said, I'm not trying to, but
that's just the number you threw out, not me. You threw out, and that's what I'm saying. Can Memphis afford to pay that price for him, for Braylon, if you got 4 to 5? Like, you know, it feels so much different to the point that you've been priced out, even maybe of some of your own guys when they rise that. Dylan might rise that high, right? Right, Coach?
He's a guy that's threatening to rise that high. Yeah. I think after this school year and this summer, Dylan will definitely be a, you know, top 30, 40 player. He's already, you know, picking on it. I think this is what you have to be careful with too, Coach, is DJ or anybody. Like, we know these kids personally, right? And I actually got to see them a lot. So I like to lead the contents and certain things. But, like, if I'm a parent, though, let's say I'm a kid that got a true chance of being an NBA player. A lot of kids don't, right, even though they think they are. DJ, because of the platform, because of the name he has, and things like that, he's going to at least get looked at it, right? He's top 10. Well, you have to be careful, because going for the most money out of high school, I know it sounds cliche, it is a lot of top 10 and 20 kids right now that's at a bigger school making great money and is riding the bench, right, and are not on the – so you have to – so that's why if Memphis have a true game plan – and I know I can go in here and play 20-some minutes as a freshman. I know I have a bigger opportunity. And if the money is close, you have to consider it, especially if you're going to a place with a – like, y'all think about this. Kentucky got a 20-some million supposedly roster, and they're not really playing great ball. So just taking the most money – now, some people need – we all need money. But
we all need money, Herb.
Yeah. We all need money on this call, I think, or whatever. So we all need money. But I don't know if John Moran or Penny slipped on the call since then, but we all need money.
Or Thad.
Yeah. or any of these guys. But I still think, and I know it's hard to turn money down, it has to be a balance that opportunity meets the right price range, and then it goes from there.
Yeah, no, it's it does excite me to look up and see, like, you got, you know, four guys that are, you know, Memphis good in the next, you know, 27, 28 classes. How did Bartlett become a powerhouse? Like, how did Bartlett become the public school in Memphis?
You got to give Deion Real a lot of that credit, don't you heard?
Is it all Deion Real? Is that what it all – and can White Station get him?
White Station in what year? What are you talking about?
He's saying, can his old school get Deion from Bartlett, basically, is what he's asking.
Oh, Deion. You mean y'all old school?
Yeah, the Spartans.
Well, I'm,
we have a coach
well,
right
he's
now.
He's a critic of White Station basketball. I mean, a graduate, but I no longer criticize.
Heard, I mean,
the
you,
job
you
that
remember
Jesus
the Chiosa and LeRon years. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, and see, I'm going to say this. Deion, Coach Real is doing a great job. And, I love Coach Pitino, too.
Me too.
You got people who feel certain ways, been feeling certain ways for years. I'm a big loyalty guy. In my younger years, first starting, like I had certain kids. I worked with White Station, and we always had a good relationship. So I will always, you know, I'm just a big loyalty
respect.
Guy with, you know, yeah, respect, and I don't take it for granted, you know, good people. And so, but I heard a Pitino talk, and I do know when White Station become available, it will be a really good job opening because it is some good candidates that people have been saying that, you know, who they would think would be next. But, you know, Coach Pitino has meant a lot to their school and community. But, yeah, Coach Real have done a great job building Bartlett up. I think nowadays, too, outside of a White Station, if you're not private, the suburb schools are kind of have more of the facilities and the look and the education. When you mention the Bartletts, the Houstons, the Collierville's, the Arlington. Now I think you can add Lakeland in there. And so a lot of those schools have a really good showing that some of us in the inner city that grew up want to send our kids there to do better. So I remember during COVID was the first time I really seen Bartlett. Before COVID, they was doing good, but expanding. I don't know if y'all remember Martin, a lot of those kids, the inner city schools couldn't play or something for whatever reason, right? But the suburbs could, and I remember Amar and J.R. Jacobs and them win, and then from there, Coach Real have done a good job developing that program. Some of the middle school, top middle school kids are actively there. They do so many events over there, right? They get a lot of exposure. You know, a lot of these national events come in town has been at Bartlett, you know, the
there.
Iverson or at Briarcrest, you know. Now, as far as inner city, Willie Kemp is doing
White
a hell
Haven.
Of a job.
I was going to say, he's
you know
keeping that
I mean?
In terms of for the MSCS crowd, he's keeping it at a high level, right? White Haven.
White Haven is in the inner city. Keep your eye on, I don't know how much y'all locked in, keep your eye on Century is having a really,
really
good,
good year
right now.
Yep. Who's coaching over there? Shout him out real fast. Who's coaching over there at Central Coach?
That's Coach Nod. He was a good, you know him. Jason, I'm sure you wrote some articles on him. He was a good point guard out of East High School, if I can recall, Coach Nod or whatever. And then you got another – it was still up to his old trick.
Southwind
is always in the mix.
Yep.
You know, Briarcrest, Coach Harrington, they probably going to win in their division. You know, Coach – just to shout out the three people that's doing a good job right now, Coach Sid Anderson is doing a good job at Harden right now. Coach Rose at FACS with everything that happened at St. George, Coach D. Wilkes, they're still playing really competitive ball. You know what I mean? So we do this year, the private school scene is good,
is.
But Bartlett is ahead. Like I said, the guy in Houston doing a great job. I hate I just slipped his name because I don't like to do that with mentioning other people's name. But, I mean, he had a great game playing last night in Houston. So, Arlington coach, Coach Smith. I mean, you know, J-Rock at Collierville. It is some good coaches, but Bartlett has took it to another level. They do have the size. They have the depth. They have everything right now. And so you got to commend Coach Real and that staff and those players. And, of course, when Dylan went back already with the other guys they had, it was just a really good piece to put together.
Heard, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Appreciate
Take care.
You, Coach.
He is Norton Hurd, the fourth Team Thad program director and coach. I missed this yesterday, but Memphis football hired a high school football legend in Memphis.
absolutely huge.
We got to talk about this. We got to talk about this. We'll do it when we get back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.